Welcome to the Seeds Excess Youth Podcast. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Friday night service. You make me feel so.
Hi guys. Hi, I've got a bit of a croaky throat. So, sorry, you'll just have to listen in a bit more. Shane, do you mind getting me a glass of water? I forgot to grab one. Thanks. who's had an interview experience in their life so far? Anyone? Hands up. Who hasn't had an interview experience? Don't worry, it's not that scary. Though most of the time it's not. But I have to say, my first experiences of interviews and job weren't very positive, and it might surprise some of you to know that, like, I was a late bloomer when it came to having confidence to do things, and you know, in certain environments I was very outgoing and having lots, you know, really happy to be, you know, I was quite extroverted and whatever, but in certain other environments I was the complete opposite, and I was quite shy as a child. Oh, thanks. I was quite shy. I had an older, I'm the third in a family of like four kids, and my older sister, she would always be the one that kind of would have the conversations with the adults and stuff, and I could kind of hide around the room and under tables and whatever. I didn't really like love talking to grown-ups, and even as a young teen, like, I didn't like really talking to people I didn't know or anything like that. And I'd get so embarrassed, and my mum would like strike up conversation with everyone at the checkout and whatever, or when she would, even worse, like take things back or complain, you know, just do things. I'm just so embarrassed. Like, I just didn't like the interaction. And I did my best, and I did well to avoid having to get a job all through high school. And I was just, all my other siblings worked at McDonald's in high school, and like, I didn't. I just was like, really afraid to be in that kind of a pressured environment, and especially with money, because maths is really not my strong suit. I'm really not good at maths. My kids are already superseding me in their maths abilities in mid-primary school. Gemma Brown can attest to this, because we're at the shops today doing some catering stuff, and I'm like, how many fives and 45? Stuff like that. Sad, but true. So I was just really anxious, even though the tills, I know that they, like, you type in the stuff and it gives you the answer, but I'm like, well, what if the power goes out and I have to, like, I don't know, I was just really afraid, and talking to people, it just scared me, and I didn't have the confidence for it, so I avoided having jobs. But I did try a couple times with the prodding of my parents, and the first interview that I remember having was going to Big W. And they had, like, you know, it was Big W, lots of people. I just wanted a job like stacking shelves, or I wasn't even doing checkout work. And so I'd come home after school, I had the interview, so I was getting, Mum, I was like, should I wear my uniform or get changed? Mum was like, oh, get changed. So I changed into like my denim jeans with the like flares that I'd added in, like cut down the seams, and I added in blue corduroy flares, and wore my like cool like grandpa V-neck jumper, and, you know, I looked great, and went off for my interview, and I can't remember, I had to fill out some stuff, but then sat down with this lady, and there's a couple other people in the room, you know, in their school uniforms, you know, how boring, and as we sat and chat, she was just like an older lady, very intimidating, and fair enough, if, you know, she'd been working in Big W a long time, obviously, but she was she basically just told me off straight up for what I was wearing, like, what you're wearing, you shouldn't have worn this, you should have worn your school uniform. I'm like, thanks, Mom. But it was just really embarrassing, you know, to come in nervous. I was already like nervous and anxious and scared of being rejected, and that's what I got when I went in. I was like, and so that just like made me scared for a few more years to go back into that kind of a and then when I was in uni, this is like a counseling session, thanks guys. When I was at uni, I got my first real job, and it was at this cafe. Yes, at a cafe, walking distance from my house. I was really excited because I love food, and you know it's fun to like serve people. So I got this job, pumped, and worked out the shifts, and I worked there for about 6 weeks, and I really enjoyed it. I was still like a bit nervous about making mistakes, and you know, and I kind of always had that feeling like when I came into the back room with other like they'd stop talking, like were they just talking about me? You know, when you get that niggling feeling. Anyway, but I was like, no, I'm sure I'm just thinking it, and I loved the job. I really enjoyed it. It was really fun for me. but still learning. I never got any like correction from my boss that time. And then she brought me into the kitchen and one day and was just basically told me for about 5 or 10 minutes how crap I was at hospitality. Like you're not suited to the hospitality industry, and basically all these things you've done wrong and you're terrible. Goodbye. And I was so crushed. I just came home and like bawled. And I'm like, I don't think I could ever get a job. Like it was just so horrible. So anyway, hopefully that makes anyone that's had a bad job experience feel a bit better. But I just was scared of being judged and being rejected by people based on my behavior or based on my performance or based on my appearance. And that is kind of what happens a lot in life. We go into situations like that where we're judged based on what's written on our experience. Like our value is determined by our previous job experience, or you know how many whatever, I don't know what it's based on, but like you know, or extracurricular things you've done, or if you've learned a musical instrument, or if you're good, you know, you have all these things that you write in a page to be like, this is me, and do you want me? And then people are like, no. Like, it's quite crushing when you put yourself out there and ask, am I good enough? And you get a no in response. And yeah, so that was hard for me to overcome as a young woman. But with the help of God, I have overcome it. And I'm here today as a witness to you that if you struggle with getting these kinds of things, that you can get through it and come out the other side. But anyway, that's not really the message, but it does tie in. The thing is, it's so important for us to understand and know what God's heart is for us, because we can easily relate to God or think that he looks at us and responds to us in a similar kind of way, that he's just wanting to judge us based on our behavior or based on, I don't know, what we've done that week or what we haven't done, or, you know, and it's really hard to draw close to a God that you feel like relates like that. And to, you know, we can sometimes fall into thinking that it's like an employer-employee relationship. Like, I just want to be used by God. I just want to serve God and to be busy working for him and doing stuff. And like, oh, I hope he likes me. I hope he approves me. I hope one day I will feel his approval and his love for me and that I do enough good. And we've got it completely wrong if that's how we see God. And we can't let the experience that we've had with people in the world determine how we understand God's heart towards us, because he's shown us what his heart is towards us. We don't have to guess at that or assume that it's the same as these other kinds of relationships, and to stop and reflect, how do I think God relates to me, or what do I think God's thinking when he thinks about me? And I encourage you to actually ask God that in the quiet of your own bedroom. God, how do you see me? And what do you think when you think about me? Because I believe he wants to answer that, and he wants to affirm and show his love to you. But yeah, it makes all the difference to how we approach God, to understand how he feels about us. And we do find in his word the truth of that. So let's look at this passage in Luke chapter 19. It's the story of Zacchaeus. Who's heard the story of Zacchaeus before? It's a popular Sunday school story, but I think it's helpful to, if you are familiar with it, some of you I'm sure won't be, but to try and see it with fresh eyes if you've heard it before. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your house today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Isn't this beautiful how it shows us God's heart? You know, this is Jesus interacting with someone who was a terrible person. If you looked at his, you know, references or his CV, that it was not good. You know, he was ripping people off, stealing from the poor, keeping it for himself. He was a traitor, probably to his own people, the Jewish people. But yet, we see the way Jesus responded to him was so different to how the other people were responding to him. And Jesus, we know, it says he came to reveal the Father's heart. And he came, you know, what you've seen me do, that's the Father's heart. I do nothing without my Father telling me to. Like, everything Jesus did displays to us what God the Father, how he feels about us. So we see here, you know, Zacchaeus wasn't even trying to talk to Jesus. He just was curious and climbing up to have a look. And Jesus came, he knew his name, and he called him down and met with him. And it was the, you know, another passage of the word says, the goodness of God leads people to repentance. His kindness to Zacchaeus, it like melted Zacchaeus's heart. He so quickly flipped, you know, as our series is about how people, when they encounter Jesus, are totally transformed from darkness into light. So he was this completely notorious sinner, all about himself, and he meets Jesus, and Jesus' kindness in that brief time totally transformed his existence. And he truly changed who he was and gave back what he'd stolen and turned his life around because he met the love of Jesus. He didn't deserve it. He wasn't a good person, and he wasn't even seeking after Jesus, really. He was wanting to have a look at him, but Jesus knew his name, and he called him out and invited himself over to his house. And all the other people, they didn't like that. They were like, this isn't right. Why should Jesus be meeting with him? And I think we should take from this the heart that God has for us. Like, we can easily feel that we're not worthy, or we keep a bit of a distance from God, wondering how he feels about us. I, you know, the last year had a real revelation. It hit me. I realized that I always kind of thought that God was just tolerating me. Like, I know he loves me. I know he died for me. But I still kind of pictured him just sort of like, come on, when I made a mistake or had a bad attitude, kind of like, come on, you can do better. That was kind of his attitude. And I realized that that's not actually accurate to what we read in the word. He's not standing there as our judge. He's there as our father, as our friend, as our comforter, as a lover. He's kind, and he gives us the strength that we need, and he comforts us when we're hurting. And he loves to be with us. He's not just tolerating us. He's excited to spend time with us. It's not an obligation that he's like, oh yes, I guess I'll save the world. It's probably the right thing to do. The good thing to do. I'll just die for these people, because he's not neutral about it. He's not neutral about you. It's not just, oh yeah, buy one, buy them all, whatever. He's passionate about you, and he cares. You know, if you get time, you know, after the service tonight or maybe sometime this week to read Luke 15, where we read about the prodigal son, the story Jesus told about a son that goes off and does terrible things and then comes back. And the father, instead of being angry or punishing or judging his son, runs out to meet him and embraces him and lavishes love and blessing upon him. It's so undeserved. He's showing us his heart. We don't need to relate to him like a judge or an unhappy employer that we can never please. That's not who he is, and that's not his heart for any of us. He desires that we come and encounter his love and are completely transformed by it. And then we get to spend the rest of our life journeying in discovering how great that love is for us. He wants you to know his heart. And he wants to meet you right where you're at, wherever that is. He's not wanting to judge you. He wants to love you. And all he's asking from us is to open up, to believe, and to receive that that's the truth. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness. How incredible your love is, that you are so different to any love that we've experienced, any relationship we've encountered. God, help us heal our hearts where we've been wounded by the rejection that we've received in our life so far from people that should have represented you to us but didn't. And maybe that's made it hard to comprehend, harder even to comprehend your love and the way you feel. Father, I pray you'd heal hearts tonight. And that you'd bring revelation of your great love that you lived out so powerfully and beautifully as you came on this earth to be one of us. Father, may we grasp that more fully and respond to it wholeheartedly. That we would say yes and allow you to love us and to stop fighting it. And to stop pushing it away and stop just trying to serve you to show our love, but to also enjoy you, to live in your presence as you've so longed for us to do. We are your children. We are your inheritance. Remind us, awaken us to that reality. In Jesus' name, amen.